We thank you for your word. We believe that your word has all that we need. And we believe in your word as treasure. And your word is life. Help us to mine it out. Help us to dig deep, to find it at a time that you may be found. Help us to fall in love with your word. Help us to explore these treasures, these riches, in a way that yields in us not just pleasures of finance, God, but the treasures of a life of service. And at the end of our days, may it be said we brought people to you, God. At the end of our days, may it be said that we did what you wanted us to. God, may we hear with our ears as you look in our eyes, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into your Father's rest. We need you so desperately. We're lost without you, God. These things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, guys. We did something that I will say that in a very humble way, I'm very, very proud of. In June of 2006, I think it was, we started in my, was it six? 2006? Four, six? It was a while ago. We started a Bible study in my living room. A few guys, five it was? 2005, it's 10 years now? Great day. Leah was there. There's a few, how many guys, was anybody else there in those days? Oh, I know my kids were there, obviously. Some of you guys were there. We started a Bible study, just a few people getting together to study the Word of God and not having any clue what God was going to do with it. And after 10 years, we finished the New Testament. We went chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and completed. And I'm not shunned to give you the whole counsel of God, because that is my calling. And as we start over, I do not believe that we will finish this book again before the Lord returns. I don't think that we're going to finish the Old Testament, which we started some 8+ years ago on Wednesdays, and we're only in 1 Kings. I don't believe we're going to finish that before the Lord returns. I don't. As the days grow closer and closer, and anybody with an eye, it was our Lord Jesus who said to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he says, you think you're so smart. He says, you can look at the sky and tell whether it's going to rain. You can tell whether there's bad weather coming. He says, but you can't even tell the sign of the times. What an indictment. I want to be one of those that can look and see the sign of the times and know that the Lord is near and live with an urgency, with an emergency. There's far more important things going on in my life than me. What I'm trying to do now, as we start the book of Matthew, is make you understand, all of you, that there is no entertainment factor involved here. I am not your daily, your weekly entertainment. I am your teacher. I am your Bible study guide. We come here and we look at Scripture. And because I have spent all week looking at it and the last 20 some odd years living to the best of my ability, I am going to show you that the word that is before us now is good to change your life. It's not coming to church that's going to change your life. It's the Word of God that will change your life. As you seek the Word of God, the Spirit of God will lead you. And some things will be supernatural. God will cleanse you. As you're reading, the Spirit will move upon you, pushing out impurities, pushing out. But some things He's going to say, listen, you see what it says there? Don't do that. Don't do that. Do that. Don't do that. Do that. Don't do. And it's up to us. It's up to you to obey. If you are one of those who the only time you read this thing is when you're here, you're missing it. Not only are you missing it, you're missing out. He's the God who through His Scripture changes lives. He's the God who takes criminals and makes them ministers. He's the God who takes prostitutes and makes them servants. And every place in between, wherever you may fall into that, whether you're not as bad, worse, you know, whatever it is. He is the God who changes lives. If you're a young brother or young sister here, you guys, you young teenagers over there, you were brought up in Christian homes and you've watched the hypocrisy of your parents' lives, because that's what happens when we're kids. We watch our parents and we see them study, we see them pray, we see them go to church, but we also see them fight and argue. And we believe, for some lie of the world, that they must be abundant. This thing is fake. And you don't allow yourselves to then fall in love with God because of it. Because either one of two things, either you think it's make-believe or you think you're already doing it just because you show up to church. As per usual, I spent the week studying. And when I tell you, I can't even tell you how many times I've read the book of Matthew. Forget about referencing it. Forget about how much I've memorized it. Forget how much I've used it in counsel. I can't tell you how many times, dozens of times over the last 20 years, I've read the book straight away through. And reading it again, just reading the first chapter and going, why didn't I see that? How could I? Just, God, wow. The numerical value. You guys, some of you guys get into this geek Bible stuff. Listen to me. I want you to go to YouTube when you go home, and I want you to pull up Chuck Missler, chapter 1, the book of Matthew. Chuck Missler, C-H-U-C-K-M-I-S-S-L-E-R. The things that he goes through in there will not just convince you that it's a book you need to read. It'll convince you that everybody who doesn't believe in the Bible as God's written word is a fool. He's a fool. Because the things that God has done numerically, when I can't even, I listened to it 3 or 4 times, like, there's no way I'm going to be able to tell the church that. That's why I have to tell you. Just listen to Chuck Missler. Because the numerical value of the Greek language and how the sevens work out in divisions, every single word and every single phrase and every single chapter and every single, you're just like, the chances of the Bible working out the way it did, just the book of Matthew working out the way it did, calculated are like 40 billion to one, that it could have just happened. Now some of you guys are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It's good, because I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, I was listening to it and I was just like, these guys, you're talking about brainiac? But I tell you what it did do. In not understanding it, it was good for me not to understand it, because I realized, if I understand the Bible, then the Bible's not the Bible. But I understand it enough to have salvation, but not near enough, because as was said, simple enough that even the youngest child can understand, but deep enough that even the wisest scholar can't get it. Watch where we go from here. Chapter 1, the book of Matthew. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, in case you didn't know, the first 4 books of the Bible, again, you Bible geeks, bear along with me, because I like to keep things simple. My thumb is now stuck. I don't know why. That was weird. You got to help me, God. The first 4 books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're what's called the Gospels. The word gospel in the Greek, it means the good news. The good news. The bad news is that sin creates death. The good news is that he is the gift of God, which brings us life. Are you understanding? So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was the tax collector Levi, who was called by the Lord. Mark was the apostle Mark. He was the friend of Peter, one of the youngest ones. Luke was Dr. Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts. And John was the youngest of the apostles, the apostle John. Now, you will see in the division, this is almost like a quadraphonic thing. One guy is describing his view from one side, another guy is describing from another side, and the little nuances of the things that they share are not contradictory. No, they are accentuating to each other. You will see this again in 4D, a quadraphonic view. Matthew, he starts a genealogy. Genealogy is a fancy word that we great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather. Now, why is he doing that? Because Matthew was a Jew, and he was writing this book to other Jews who wanted to know why they considered Jesus Christ the King. And the first thing Matthew and Luke does the same thing, only in a different direction, wants to prove that his lineage is true. So watch as we read, as I name these names. You know what, before we even go to the naming the names, I wanted to stay here for a second. Which Bible version are you reading right now? Just show of hands, how many of you guys are reading the NIV? New Living Translation. Anybody have the new, which one's that? The NIV? I personally, in my study, I read out of the King James. How many of you guys read a King James? How many of you guys read the New King James? Okay, that's the vast majority. Good. So, let me explain to you what a Bible translation is for you guys also that are new. Because I'm trying to get you younger Christians, I'm trying to get you guys who are not into this thing to get into this thing. There are 25,000 plus manuscripts of Scripture. Now, in case you didn't know, this is not one book. This is 66 books written by 40 different people covering about 2,000 years. Covering, as far as descripting, all creation. From the beginning, book of Genesis, in the beginning God created man, to the end, book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which we just finished. 25,000 different manuscripts. Some of them were written as much as 100 to 200 years after the events occurred. However, some were written as much as little as 8 to 10 years after the actual event occurred. Now, in reading the writings of, say, Socrates or Plato, their manuscripts are like 3 or 4. And it was written literally hundreds of years after. Our book, which everybody knows so much about, the higher critics, was telling us why it can't be true. We again have 25,000 manuscripts, of which the variation between all these manuscripts is maybe 5 to 8%. 10 would be taking it far. Which if you go to, say, the Dead Sea Scrolls, if you go back as far as you want to go from the Old and New Testament books of all the oldest discoveries, from the book that you're reading now, NIV, New King James, New Living, King James, there's about a 4%, 3 to 4% variation, most of that being in punctuation or spelling. The Word of God has been proven that it is what it was. Because the whole thing that you'll see, especially if you go online at all, and you can see, especially this day and age, how many people hate the Word of God. They hate you if you like the Word of God. All you have to do is go to any YouTube, Reddit, any of these things, and put something about you being a Christian, and you will immediately be bam, 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 bam. The hits just keep coming. You read an old book written by old men about a bunch of wives' tales. I know it's happened to me. The book that is in your hand, if I told you that it's real and true, the first thing you want to know is how and why. Okay. I can't give you the how and whys. Here's what I can tell you. It changed my life. I come from a different lifestyle. Some of you guys come from that same lifestyle. And when I read in the Bible and found out that my lifestyle wasn't God's lifestyle, and I tried to change my lifestyle according to God, the craziest thing happened. I wound up happy. I wound up blessed. I stayed married. My kids love the Lord. What more can you ask? But again, going back just to peek, just to touch the interest a little. This is not a book of wives' tales written by a bunch of old men. This is 66 books selected, and it's what's called an integrated message system. Look to guys a lot smarter than me, Warren Wiersbe, Chuck Smith, especially Chuck Missler, if you're into that brainiac, if you're a college type of person, which never went a day in my life. If you listen to just the first tape, Matthew chapter 1, Chuck Missler, listen to that and come back to me and tell me why he's an idiot. I'm with you. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Now, if I'm saying that and you don't even know who I'm talking about, I'm telling you right now, you're missing out big time. As I'm reading this genealogy, I'm thinking to myself, wow, Abraham. I remember Abraham, man. You guys remember when he was going through that town and king said, hey, is that your wife? No, that's my sister. So the king took his wife and then God cursed the king and then he gave him back his wife. Then Abraham brought his son Isaac up on the altar and was about to kill him because God said to sacrifice your son. And then all of a sudden there's a ram stuck in the bushes. And then, wait a second. The lamb, the ram, sacrifice, then he got saved. Wow, that looks just like the... All through these things, as I say these names, you should know them. You should have an idea. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob, who is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah and Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. Please, there's something you should see in those first few verses. You notice how many women's names were in there? Rahab. Ruth. Guys, in Bible times, women were possessions. In Bible times, a woman is something you owned. If she didn't please you, you sent her away. Let me make this clear in case we have any of you feminists here. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible has done more for women's rights than any movement in the history of mankind. The women that are listed here, they are spies, prostitutes, loners. God used them in the lineage of his son Jesus Christ as a gift of hope to all women who have found that they have lost their way, so that they be found in finding their way. Are you understanding me? It might seem nothing because we're reading all these names and this one begat that one. There's a lot of begatting going on. We understand that. The Bible's full of begattings. The Bible's full of killings. People died there. People begat here. But the depths of the names and the knowledge of the thread, the line, the blood. See, in the book of Genesis, God said that somebody from the lineage of Mary would come and rescue us from the fall. And Matthew is trying to show the Jews the lineage is true and the line is right. And the strength of the blood does exist. I wish I could make that clearer. Then Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. That's mentioning another woman. Anybody remember Bathsheba? We just finished that a few months ago on Wednesday nights. You guys might not know we have a Wednesday night service, but Wednesday at 7 o'clock we meet and we've been studying the Old Testament. And we've just been going through David and his sons and it's just been crazy to read that they've been keeping track of this stuff a long time. You see, guys, that the Jewish history has all been lost. When Titus, the Mede, destroyed the temple, All of the lines are lost. Jews have no clue who they are, where they came from. And this was very precious. And in so doing, not even knowing it, what he was trying to do is destroy the knowledge that Christ the King, the Savior, would be born. Bible geeks, are you with me? But I guess the antichrists that have lived before us didn't realize that God was keeping track. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. Now some of you guys, what do you mean carried away to Babylon? In case you guys didn't know this, the whole nation of Israel went under attack and they got taken as hostages, carried away by King Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. For 70 years, Israel was a people conquered. And one of the promises that God made all through Scripture, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, was that one day Israel would be a nation again. And for over 2,000 years, Israel had no hometown, had no home country. What was it to be an Israelite? It was to be scattered over the face of the earth. And then in 1947, Israel was given the speck of land again, that the Jews could return to their home. And the promise was fulfilled. Well, the Muslim nations surrounding it were not happy about that. So the first thing they did is start to declare war on Israel. That didn't work out so good. Because in the miraculous, God showed up and has preserved them. Amazing stories. Verse 12, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim. Akim begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14, from David until the captivity in Babylon are 14, and from the captivity in Babylon until Christ, 14. Whew. By the way, all divisions of seven, but again, you can listen to Chuck and he'll explain that to you. I call him Chuck because I feel like I know him, but I don't. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Please, again, give me your attention. We're switching gears completely. We could probably finish this next week, but we're not going to. We're going to do it this week. I want to go chapters. So the true Jew hears that genealogy, and some of them go, who cares? Some of them go, wait a second, wait a second. What are you saying? That by birth and by right, he is the king of Israel. To the true Jew, this means something. Because guys understand, as goyim, as Gentiles, what do we get? I don't care about who begot. I'm the only one I care about begotten. But to the Jew who is waiting for Messiah Nagid, Messiah the King, that's looking at the Old Testament and saying, the promise of his coming, the promise of Messiah. Here it is, the promise of Messiah. They read this and they go, okay, okay, maybe. And then we go on to describe through these next four books why he is exactly who he said he would be. And as last day saints, which I believe we are, we look forward to the announcement that is going to be coming out of the Middle East. Hopefully, our eyes will see it, where they will proclaim, we have found Messiah, and his name is Jesus Christ. We look forward to that, the earth rejoicing, and our Jewish brothers and sisters coming together with them instead of all this division. betrothed to Joseph. So there's this little girl, some say she's 14 or 15 years old. Her name is Mary, and her mother and her father, they find this man Joseph, who is a good and upright and honorable man, and they get betrothed. What is it to be betrothed? We set up a marriage and I say, okay, I want one of my daughters to marry one of Matthew's sons. He doesn't have any sons yet, but you never know. I just didn't want to make anything happen there that I wasn't going to allow that to happen. She says, great idea. Only problem is he doesn't have any sons yet, and my daughter's only 6 and 8, my youngest ones. So we'll wait. So all of a sudden, praise God, maybe one day Michelle gets pregnant. And lo and behold, it's a boy. And let's say they name it, what would you name a boy? They name it Matthew. That was wrong, dude. Mr. All nervous and shy when he gets up here, boy. You asked the same there, right? Yeah. I mean, a black man turn red now. So we betroth them. Say, Kiki and Matthew are betrothed. And we will wait to bring them together. And this is what was happening. So he was betrothed. The only thing is, right before they were going to get married, Joseph finds out she's pregnant. Now, I want you to see that even in our day and age, how scandalous this may be. Imagine 2,000 years ago. Not just scandalous. They could have drugged Mary right out to the middle of the city and stoned her to death. This is some of the stuff that stumbles people, because as some of you guys know, women don't get pregnant by the Holy Spirit too often. In reptiles, they have this thing, it's called poly something or other, where female reptiles that have never been with a male somehow wind up being pregnant. It's an amazing thing. You could look it up. It's totally a hint that God says, hey, I can do anything I want. Don't forget that. Polyzona something or other, where female reptiles that have never been around all of a sudden wind up pregnant with eggs, and it's crazy. This is not what happened there, by the way. Then Joseph, verse 19, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. That's a pretty light statement. You find out that the woman you're betrothed to is pregnant, and she tells you it was God. I'm sorry. We got to talk about this. Like, I love you and all that, babe, but that's a tough one to swallow. But he was a just man. And because he was a good guy, because he really had love for her, he said, you know what? Let's just keep it quiet. All right, fine. It's a choice you made with your life. You go on. I want you to know that all through Mary's life, the reason you'll find Mary to be, some people reading scripture, they find Mary to be one of those, and I use this as a common quote, a bossy woman. She lived with this from the time she was a little girl. They called the Lord Jesus, they made quite reference to him being a bastard. There was a lot of references to his sin, his mother's sin, all through scripture. Although not quite said, it was certainly intimated. And here is where her pain first starts. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Please give me your attention. Listen to me. It don't happen that easy. Let me tell you what kind of guy this guy Joseph was. He's sitting there, and he's like, could you imagine tears I mean, how many years maybe he was waiting for this girl to become of age, and how much of his life, I could have been doing other things. You know what I mean? That whole freak out thing. And as he's not in anger doing the world's thing, bring her out to the city and stone her. But in anger, righteous anger, saying, God, how? God, why? I trusted and I believed. Why? The Lord speaks to his heart, guys. The Lord didn't give him like a text. Oh, there it is. Never mind. The Lord didn't type something and came across the forehead of his mind. The Lord spoke to him as he's willing to speak to us, as he wants to. If we would listen, God is speaking. If we would spend that time, yeah, you guys, we talked about it on Wednesday. There's no shortcuts in prayer, guys. You want God to speak to you. We go, and here's where we go, well, I'll believe if God will tell me. Just tell me you're alive. Just tell me you're the one. Okay, fine. See, he didn't listen. What did you want him to do? Well, I was hoping the top of the thing would just go like that. And, you know, that would be I'm the one. This is a man. This is a godly man, man. This is hard. Imagine living your whole life like that. You think he's the only one to know everywhere he goes? He married this girl. In Italian, we have a word for somebody who marries a pregnant girl, and it's not nice. It means they're a chump, and everybody knows it. They have a similar word in Spanish. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And this is what he had to live with his whole life. This is pretty radical stuff. But because he was listening, and in meditation, and in prayer, in wonder, and not taking his pain and overriding who he was. Because we tend to do that. We get into an argument with our spouse, we get into an argument with our kids, that's it, all bets are off. And here comes the cussing and the fussing and the mussing and everything else. That's it! He said, God, take this pain from me. It's more than I can bear. And God said, don't be afraid. And I love that. I think about that man whose daughter died, and the Lord Jesus took him in his arms and he said, didn't I tell you? Just believe. Remember Jairus? You guys remember scripture, Jairus? Same situation. God speaking. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Speaking from the book of Isaiah, a very important thing to a Jew, and you're going to see that Matthew refers to the Jewish scriptures over and over again, and the reason that he does that is because, remember, the book of Matthew was written to the Jew, trying to get them to understand that he is the promised king. And now, as the Jew, a true Jew, now I don't know how many of you guys here are Jewish or of Jewish descent. My mother is Jewish, but we never went to temple. We never read Torah. We never did any of that. I had to become a Christian to become a Jew. But you give me a true Jew that reads Torah in English, and I will show them in their scripture, Psalm 22, Isaiah 52, 53, 54. I will say, who's he thinking? Who's he talking about here? And they will have to, at very least, pause. And I'll say, aren't you looking for Messiah? Who do you think Genesis chapter 3 is about? And I will go through every single book of the Old Testament. And this is exactly what Matthew is. Wait a second. The virgin shall. Now, again, going to that Bible geek stuff, the Greek word and the Hebrew word there for virgin also means young maiden. And the Bible critics will say, oh, that word doesn't mean nothing because they use that word for virgin, but that word also means maiden. Yeah, but why would Isaiah say a young girl, a young maiden shall conceive. Like, all young girls conceive. I mean, there's enough to believe and enough to doubt. God's not going to spell it out for you. He's not going to spell his name in the stars, guys, because he gave you the stars. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Now, this does fly in the face and faith of some of you guys that have a Catholic background, because according to the catechisms, that Joseph never slept with Mary and Mary didn't have any other children. This kind of flies in the face of that, guys. So consider, if you come from a Catholic background, if you're a Catholic believer and not just a Catholic churchgoer, just consider that scripture. And this is not a doctrinal thing, guys. It's not like I'm saying, well, here at Calvary Chapel. This is just a Bible thing. That's all it is, Bible thing. I don't care what background of Christianity you come from. If you are a Christian and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and God, please understand, we read the Bible. This isn't Protestant, Catholic, Lutheran, whatever you want to consider it. This is the Bible. This is all we do here. And whether our church is called Calvary Chapel, the House of Prayer, or Bob's House of Pancakes, you know, we study the Bible. That's what we do. We look to it and we read it and we go, Holy Spirit, give us understanding. And that's what we're going to continue to do. And we're going to run through chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. And I guarantee you sometime before, well, I can't guarantee you, but I bet you, sometime before we get back to the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus is going to rapture us out of this place. So if you come back next week and we're not here, sorry. You could always believe right now. That way you can just be there with us and be like, dude, I can't believe you were right. He did not sleep with her till after she gave birth to the Lord. And kind of weird. It's almost like you're thinking about your parents. It's like, I don't want to hear about that. No. Hey, guys, this is just a story. You can close your book. This is just the beginning of the most amazing story in the history of mankind. What we're about to see is one man who was born in a town about the size smaller than Pompano Beach, who never traveled more than 200 miles, but all creation, all time is measured by him. Every human being's life has been altered because of him, whether it be life or death. If you want to, forget about everything else. Just come here and look at this guy and go, this is incredible stuff. Think about who it is we're studying, guys, just real quick. Let me reiterate this again. The man we're going to learn about, the little baby born in a manger, was born in a town smaller than Pompano Beach. He never traveled more than 200 miles from his house. In the Middle East, and yet all time is measured by him. He's in the mouth of every single human being on the planet, especially when you hurt yourself. Jesus Christ. They don't call in the name of Buddha. They don't call in the name of anything else. Nobody ever hurt themselves and says, oh, Zeus. They don't do that. They call on the name of our God. I got to know more about this stuff, man. I got to dig. I got to find out. There's got to be something more. I mean, will you at least, non-believer here, at least give me that? There's got to be something more than just some guy. I mean, was this whole thing a setup, a coincidence, guys? This guy just happened to have this happen? One time in discussing this with a friend of mine, I turned to the book of Revelation. I said, look at this. It says here that there's coming a time where you won't have any money, but you'll only need a number, and it'll be on your hand or your forehead. And in order to have good services, your substance, you'll have to have a number. I said, now he said that over 2,000 years ago. How do you think that happened? And this dude straight face looked at me and goes, that's the power of suggestion. I said, excuse me? He goes, yeah, he wrote it there. Everybody bought into it. And you say that I have good faith? That's some crazy faith right there. What is it that stops you from believing? Is it the thought that maybe God's not good or God's not powerful because bad things have happened in your life? So either God's not all good or God's not all powerful? Just maybe the things that we're saying here is because you are born in this time and place as a test. As a test. If all we are is ashes to ashes, dust to dust, or we're one of them deep thinkers. Well, where did God come from? I don't know. The beginning of all things. And in the end, it boils down to only one thing, guys. God changed my life. When my life was a mess, God rescued me and changed it. And I promise you, He'll do this for you. Fall in love with this book, and you will fall in love with the Savior. Just because you have the benefit of living in the United States and you don't need a sword everywhere you go, you still need a sword everywhere you go. So, Mary's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And next week, we're going to see the plan start to unfold. Amen. God, I ask you, please, because I so sense in my spirit that there are some here, their interest is piqued. Guys, I'm going to interrupt my prayer a second. Listen to me. Listen to what I tell you here. Some of you guys are here right now, and something has happened in your heart. It's been touched. The Word of God has got you thinking. But listen to me. You're going to walk out those doors, and immediately you're going to be attacked. You're going to walk out those doors, and somebody is going to distract you. Somebody's going to dissuade you. Somebody's going to tell you it's ridiculous, it's a lie, all these other things. I want that to be the sign to you that what I'm saying is the truth. If you leave here and you're interested, and man, you have the best week you ever had, ignore me. Just never come back. But if you leave here, you who've been interested, you who are just I'm telling you, there's some of you guys in here, just that little bit is bleeding. Something just snapped off your heart, and you're bleeding right now inside. You're going to go out there, and they're going to attack you. And you're going to hear something, why it can't be true. And you're going to be thinking, well, that's the weirdest coincidence in the world. It ain't a coincidence. God has a great plan for your life. Embrace it with everything. God will give you. God doesn't want to take you and make you me. He wants to take you and make you you. The Bible says that God will make you. He will make you new. He will build you up. He will strengthen you. It doesn't mean you guys that are here that are in athletics. It doesn't mean He's going to take you out of that and you're going to have to be a... I am not the pinnacle of our belief system. The pinnacle of our belief system is every day walking with the Lord. Okay. God, I do pray for that one person that's here that's going to be under attack. God, I pray that you put your whole armor of God on them. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth and the shoes of peace, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit in their hand. God, with all prayer, we pray over them now. You build a siege mount around their heart, God, and a garrison around their life. And as the lies of the enemy attack them, God, may the truth of your word continually baptize them. May they embrace this love
and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are God, and beside you there is no other. May you fill each and every one of these people with a hunger and a thirst for your word, and a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Bless abundantly, God. May no weapon that's fashioned prosper against them. These things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.